Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 20th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
The Fed kicks off its two-day meeting with another 75 basis point rate hike on the table.
Treasury two-year yields are poised to crack above 4% for the first time in 15 years.
British Prime Minister Liz Truss is pessimistic about a trade deal with the U.S.
And Ford shares drop on concerns of higher supply costs.
New York City is looking at legal action involving the influx of migrants from Texas, plus Hurricane Fiona strengthens after devastating Puerto Rico. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets clinched a playoff berth. Max Scherzer pitched them to victory in Milwaukee. Aaron Judge and the Yankees tonight host Pittsburgh.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures are moving lower this morning. We are coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 5 points, Dow futures down 19, NASDAQ futures down 31, and the DAX in Germany is down 0.33%. The 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 3.51%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.96%. Nathan.
Karen, the S&P 500 snapped a two-day losing streak yesterday, but right now futures are falling just a bit. 10-year Treasury yields are hovering near 3.5%, while the yield on the 2-year is poised to crack 4% for the first time since 2007. Jake Jolly is a senior investment strategist at BNY Mellon.
I think it's going to be pretty choppy this week, right? We're all waiting for Wednesday. We're all very attentive to, you know, what's going to be coming. Most notably, I think, in the summary of economic projections. I think everybody feels like a Fed watcher these days. But until then, I think it's going to be a little bit choppy.
And the Fed meeting mentioned by BNY Mellon's Jake Jolly kicks off today. According to economists surveyed by Bloomberg, the central bank will hike rates by 0.75 percentage point for the third straight time. Lori Calvesina is head of U.S. equity strategy at RBC Capital Markets.
Look, our rate strategy team, they're still in the 75 basis point camp, but they've certainly said that 100 is on the table, and it does seem like there's been pains to make that messaging out there. It was a brutal day last week after that CPI print. We had a 5% drop in the NASDAQ. So I do think that a lot is baked in at this point in time, and I think what the market continues to struggle with is not just the aggressive action from the Fed, but the economic ramifications.
Lori Calvesina at RBC says more companies could downgrade their earnings forecasts, and that could lead to more uncertainty for the markets.
In Japan, Karen, inflation accelerated to its fastest pace in more than 3 decades, and that's creating headaches for the Bank of Japan. It will try to explain why it needs to continue with monetary stimulus when inflation is above its 2% goal. Consumer prices, excluding fresh food, rose at an annual rate of 2.8% in August.
Meantime, Nathan, across Asia, stocks snapped a 5-day losing streak. Hopes that Hong Kong will ease COVID restrictions helped boost sentiment. And we get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Solly in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Indexes in Hong Kong were up more than 1%, one key gauge climbing from the edge of a bear market, as Hong Kong's chief executive said the city wants to relax COVID travel curbs after nearly 3 years of restrictions. The offshore yuan weakened despite the PBOC setting a stronger than expected fix for a 19th day, and Chinese lenders kept their loan prime rates unchanged. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Let's turn to geopolitics now. There's word this morning a trade deal between the UK and the U.S. is not likely anytime soon. Let's go live to London and get the details from Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. It's the first foreign trip for Liz Truss since she became British Prime Minister 2 weeks ago. But touching down in New York for the UN General Assembly, she told reporters a trade deal between the UK and the U.S. is unlikely in the short or the medium term. An agreement with the world's biggest economy has been an ambition for post-Brexit trade policy, but for now, the new PM accepts it's not going to happen anytime soon. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thank you. Now to the latest on the war in Ukraine. The country's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, is calling on Western allies to send even more weapons to cement the gains from this month's counteroffensive against Russia. He says it's been successful so far.
It was unexpected for some, but it was a thoroughly planned and well thought military operation. The next phase will be to continue liberating our territories. We will continue our counteroffensive in the east of the country.
And Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba spoke with Bloomberg in New York ahead of the UN General Assembly's annual meeting. Last week, President Biden announced another $600 million drawdown from U.S. military stockpiles to provide aid to Ukraine.
In corporate news this morning, Karen, a big legal battle is back in the spotlight. We have new developments in the lawsuit filed by Twitter against Elon Musk. Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey will now be questioned under oath as part of the case. And we get the story from Bloomberg. Doug Krisner.
Dorsey has been an energetic booster of Musk's $44 billion bid for the company, but in July, Musk retreated from his offer and accused the company of not providing information to assess the prevalence of bots. Twitter is now suing Musk to enforce the takeover agreement. Even though Dorsey was subpoenaed last month by Musk, he will be questioned by attorneys from both sides via Zoom. The push to gather information and interview key players comes ahead of an expedited schedule for a trial. It's slated to begin October 17th and last for 5 days. In New York, I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Doug, thank you. Well, Ford is also front and center this morning. Shares down almost 5% in early trading after the automaker said inflation is pushing supplier costs $1 billion higher than expected in the current quarter. Ford expects adjusted earnings to be well below the $3.7 billion it reported last quarter.
And General Motors is getting a vote of confidence this morning, Karen, from one big investor. Kathy Woods Fund has scooped up shares of GM for the first time in more than 4 months. Following a 50% drawdown this year through July, GM's shares have been gradually recovering as the company bets on selling affordable electric vehicles.
And Apple unveiled major increases to its price tiers on apps and in-app purchases from Europe to Asia, protecting its margins as major currencies tumble against the U.S. dollar. Customers in nations that use the euro, as well as those in Sweden, Japan, South Korea, Chile, Egypt, Malaysia, Pakistan, and Vietnam, will all see price hikes as early as October 5th. Futures are lower. Your local headlines straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 69 degrees in Central Park. Already dealing with an accident on the westbound Cross Bronx Expressway. It's by the Sheridan Expressway. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. More migrants arrived by bus to New York from Texas yesterday, following 6 additional buses over the weekend. Mayor Eric Adams says his city is considering potential legal action. The situation in New York has turned tragic, with Mayor Adams confirming that an asylum seeker took her own life at a facility over the weekend.
The failure was the governors that sent people on a multi-day bus ride without proper food, without medical care, without the basic necessities.
Mayor Adams says 11,600 asylum seekers and migrants are here in the city. Meanwhile, a Texas Democratic sheriff announced a criminal investigation has been opened into who was behind the recruitment of dozens of migrants in San Antonio to be flown on a charter plane to Florida and Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts. Bexar County Sheriff Javier Salazar says they were lured.
They were promised work. They were promised the solution to several of their problems. They were taken to Martha's Vineyard for little more than a video op, and then they were unceremoniously stranded in Martha's Vineyard.
Sheriff Salazar says it's believed that a Venezuelan migrant was paid what would be called a bird dog fee to recruit people from the area around a migrant resource center. Fiona strengthened to a Category 3 hurricane overnight with winds of 115 miles per hour as it approached the Turks and Caicos Islands. In Puerto Rico, more than 1 million people are without power, and officials say roughly 35 inches of rain could fall on some areas. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul says Puerto Rico needs assistance like any other state going through a natural disaster.
These are our citizens, fellow citizens, and that is why we do this mutual aid as we would do if there were, you know, the flooding in Kentucky.
Governor Hochul says utility crews are ready to go down to help. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is warning that the world is in great peril. He says world leaders meeting in person for the first time in 3 years at the UN General Assembly in New York must tackle conflicts and climate catastrophes. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. The Mets are now officially in the playoffs, and they are hoping that next month it's their 1-2 punch that will take them far. The night after Jacob DeGrom began his start with five perfect innings and 13 strikeouts, it was Max Scherzer's turn. Came off the injured list in Milwaukee to hurl six perfect innings, 9 Ks. Scherzer was then taken out. Brewers scored twice in the seventh off Tyler McGill, also just back from injury. But the Mets won 7-2. Scherzer's 200th career win. Pete Alonso hit a three-run homer, his 36th. The Braves also won. They remain a game behind, even in the loss column. Yankees back home tonight to play Pittsburgh. And the hot ticket is for a seat in the bleachers, a chance to catch a ball hit out by Aaron Judge, sitting on 59 home runs. This next one matches Babe Ruth from 1927, and then it's on to Roger Maris. Judge continues to say it's not on his mind.
If I'm out, my focus is to go out there and win a game. Numbers, you know, that's just, there is numbers. You know, I'm focused on doing what I can to be a good teammate, help the team win. If that means hitting a homer, then it means hitting a homer. But, you know, it's never been my focus, never been, you know, my main objective when I play this game.
The Astros last night clinched the AL West. The Guardians won. They lead the AL Central by 4 games. Pair of Monday night blowouts, Buffalo 41-7 over Tennessee. Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs hooked up for touchdowns 3 times. Philadelphia all over Minnesota 24-7. Jalen Hurts ran for 2 touchdowns, threw a 53-yard TD pass to Bills and Eagles, both 2-0. Jets coach Rob Saleh says Zach Wilson looks good in practice, but Jets might stick with last Sunday's hero Joe Flacco for at least one more game Sunday against Cincinnati. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures moving lower now, down 10 points. Dow futures down 54. NASDAQ futures adding to their declines, down 52 points. And the 10-year Treasury yield right now, 3.52%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunshine today and highs in the low 80s, mostly sunny with a high near 80 tomorrow. By Thursday, showers likely, highs then in the upper 70s. Right now, 69 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks giving up early gains as traders gear up for another supersized U.S. rate hike amid rising anxiety. The Federal Reserve could over-tighten and raise the odds of a hard landing. Fed policymakers open a two-day meeting today with a decision on interest rates scheduled for tomorrow. And U.S. stock index futures are lower. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 12 points this morning. Dow futures down 56 and NASDAQ futures down 53. The DAX in Germany is down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 10/32nds, yield 3.52%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.97%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 46 cents at $86.19 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1% or $2 at $16.76.20 an ounce. The euro is at 1.0010 against the dollar, British pound 1.1432, and the yen 143.72. Looking at Bitcoin, it's down 1.2% at $19,290. And today we are looking for reports on housing starts and building permits at 8:30 Wall Street time. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Hurricane Fiona has strengthened into a Category 3 storm as it now heads toward the Turks and Caicos Islands. It continues to cause heavy winds and rain in the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico, where floodwaters rush through the streets and many are without power. Border crossings soared in August. U.S. Customs and Border Protections reported an increase in migrants from Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua, stopping about 56,000 last month. It was a Monday night football doubleheader. The Bills put a what for and why whipping on the Titans 41-7. The Eagles beat the Vikings 24-7. In baseball, the Mets won, clinching a playoff berth. The Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up to 520 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We've got SD Dweck with us this morning, Chief Investment Officer at Flow Bank. With the focus on central banks this week and a Fed decision tomorrow, SD, good morning. We're watching futures move lower, the two-year yield getting ever closer to 4%. Does this market have more pricing in to whatever the Fed's going to do tomorrow?
Good morning. Well, it certainly seems to be the case. I think the market is worried that the terminal rate in the dot plot that we're going to get tomorrow is going to be higher than 4.5 or something like that. And so there's a little bit of readjustment, especially at the two-year yields waiting for the announcement tomorrow.
So how much further do you think this market could go in the stock market? How much further could we see Treasury yields go?
Well, it really depends if we get an even more hawkish surprise from the Fed or something as hawkish as Powell was at Jackson Hole, or whether we have a dot plot that shows below 4.5, which is already basically priced in by the markets. We've broken through those June highs on the 10-year, so there is some room to the upside, but it is starting to feel, again, unless the Fed again resets those terminal rate expectations, it is starting to get a little bit stretched on the yield front.
Now, we did get a hawkish surprise this morning from Sweden's central bank coming in with a 100 basis point move. Does that have any impact on your expectations for the Fed tomorrow?
I don't think so. The Fed is most likely going to do 75 at this point. Again, even if they went 100 because they are trying to front load these rate hikes, I think the market might not necessarily see it as a negative. Again, depending on how that terminal rate ends up, it's really a question of how high do we go and for how long do we stay there. The path higher now, we know it's going to be a lot of big hikes. We have 75 basis points mostly planned in for November already, so we know a few of these are coming.
What does that mean for corporations going forward here? We're hearing a number of earnings downgrades. Of course, you got that big report from FedEx last week and more gloomy picture from Ford as well this morning. Are we setting ourselves up here for even further earnings downgrades from companies getting into the last quarter?
It's something we definitely need to watch. The Ford one was more a question of waiting for some parts, and then they think their Q4 deliveries are going to be fine. So we saw that with some other car makers a few quarters ago. So the full year 2022 wasn't changed. FedEx was definitely a warning, but so far it's one of the only companies that has been as negative about the rest of the year. But we have to watch that. And if it starts to become very big downgrades to the outlook and not just some downward adjustment, then I think that can be another worry for markets.
So in our last minute here, SD, what's the risk of economic slowdown or even recession given the strong stance we're seeing from the Fed? And where do you put your money at this point?
Well, it's interesting because you have a labor market that's holding up. You have growth data that appears to be holding up so far. So it doesn't feel like we're sort of spiraling towards a recession, and that very elusive soft landing seems like a possibility at this point. Well, we're certainly going to have to watch that over the next few months. But in the short term, sentiment is negative. I think we probably have at least a few more weeks of downside risk. So for now, I mean, dollar is still king. Cash is obviously paying. So for the short term, certainly more on the cautious side.
Yeah, certainly are seeing even more dollar strength this morning as well. Thanks for this, Esty. Again, great having you back on with us this morning. Esty Dweck, Chief Investment Officer at FlowBank. As we watch the market this morning, we're seeing futures add to their declines. Right now, we've got S&P futures lower by 15 points, Dow futures down 83, and NASDAQ futures a drop of 0.6%, a 67-point decline on the tech-heavy NASDAQ futures. The 10-year Treasury is down 10.32 with the yield close to 3.53%. The yield on the two-year getting ever closer to 4% right now at 3.98. NYMEX crude is up 0.5% or 46 cents, $86.19 a barrel. And looking at that dollar strength once again, the euro pretty much at parity against the dollar at 1.0009. This is Bloomberg. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by PPAC Private Wealth Management. PPAC Private Wealth Management knows that a portfolio is more than a collection of assets. It's a path to your future. Visit PPACPrivate.com and begin your financial legacy today.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. Futures are lower following a late-day rally on Wall Street, and U.S. 10-year real yields rose to the highest since 2011. The S&P 500 snapped a two-day losing streak after sliding much of last week. The market uncertainty comes as the Fed kicks off its two-day policy meeting. The question now is whether the central bank hikes interest rates by 75 or 100 basis points. William Houston is Chief Investment Officer at Bay Street Capital.
As soon as that trend reverses course, you know, we stop seeing this inversion in the yield curve where investors are being actually rewarded at a higher rate on these shorter term yields as opposed to longer term yields. As long as that's the case, yeah, equities are going to perform poorly.
William Houston with Bay Street Capital thinks the Fed will raise rates 75 basis points tomorrow. An economist recently surveyed by Bloomberg agree. Join us for live coverage of that Fed decision tomorrow on a special edition of Bloomberg Surveillance starting at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, the Fed isn't the only central bank making policy decisions this week, Karen. In Europe, Sweden's central bank hiked rates a larger than expected 100 basis points. Over in Asia, the Bank of Japan will have to decide whether to continue monetary stimulus this week after inflation accelerated to the fastest pace in more than three decades. We also get a Bank of England decision on Thursday.
On to geopolitics now, Nathan, where world leaders meeting at the UN this week are in the spotlight. And ahead of her meeting with President Joe Biden, UK Prime Minister Liz Truss says she does not expect a trade deal between the two countries anytime soon.
In the meantime, the war in Ukraine rages on, Karen, and that country's foreign minister, Dmytro Kuleba, says Ukraine will continue its counteroffensive against Russia in the east. He's calling on Western allies to send more weapons.
Sometimes I'm being asked whether there is enough of weapons that we have received. I always say I will be able to say it was enough only after Ukraine wins. Until then, we will be asking for more.
Ukrainian Foreign Minister Dmytro Kuleba spoke with Bloomberg ahead of the UN General Assembly's annual meeting. Last week, President Biden announced another $600 million drawdown from U.S. military stockpiles to provide aid to Ukraine.
In corporate news now, Nathan, Twitter co-founder Jack Dorsey will be questioned under oath today in the lawsuit filed by Twitter against Tesla founder Elon Musk.
And shares of Ford are down 5% in early trading, Karen, after the automaker announced inflation is pushing supplier costs $1 billion higher than expected in the current quarter.
And again, futures are lower with S&P futures down about 10 points. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 5:33 on Wall Street, 69 degrees in Central Park. Still dealing with the accident westbound Cross Bronx at the Sheridan Expressway. More coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. New York Mayor Eric Adams says he will soon have a plan to deal with the busloads of migrants arriving in the city from the southern border. Mayor Adams says he'll first examine the issues, then come up with a plan to deal with the migrant crisis landing in the city.
We are not telling anyone that New York can accommodate every migrant in the city. We're not encouraging people to send 8-9 buses a day. That is not what we're doing.
Mayor Adams says the city has taken in more than 11,000 asylum seekers and migrants, processing 8,500 of them while opening 23 emergency shelters. But Adams says among the many next steps could be litigation.
We are strongly in support of right to shelter, but there's aspects of it that we want to look at. And so we're looking at our legal options on all of what we are seeing, how to address this.
Mayor Adams also confirms one migrant sent to New York committed suicide over the weekend. Hurricane Fiona is barreling toward the Turks and Caicos Islands as it strengthens into a Category 3 storm. The intensifying storm also kept dropping rain over the Dominican Republic and Puerto Rico. One person has died and more than a million people remain without power in Puerto Rico. In New York, Governor Kathy Hochul said crews are ready to go down to help.
We are continuing to monitor the situation. We have assets ready to be deployed. We are anxious to provide the support that the people of Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic need at this time.
Governor Hochul says the people in Puerto Rico are our fellow citizens and need aid. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres is warning that the world is in great peril. He says world leaders meeting in person for the first time in 3 years at the UN General Assembly in Manhattan must tackle conflicts and climate catastrophes, increasing poverty and inequality and divisions among major powers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stashar has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, after the Yankees spent this past weekend in Milwaukee, the Mets went there. They took Max Scherzer off the injured list. He went for his 200th career victory of the Mets, seeking one more win to assure them a playoff berth. Mets and Brewers scoreless, fourth inning.
The pitch. Alonso drives it deep to left field. This ball's fair, and it's way out of here. Three-run shot, Pete Alonso. And the Mets strike first in Milwaukee. It's 3-0 in the top of the fourth inning.
Alonso's 36th. WCBS had it. Mets went on to win 7-2. Scherzer brilliant, taken out after six perfect innings. The playoff berth is the Mets' 10th in team history, first since 2016. Of course, they'd like to go in as division champ, earn a first-round bye, but Atlanta continues in hot pursuit. The Braves won to remain one game behind. The Pirates just lost four times to the Mets at Citi Field. Now they visit the Yankees with all eyes on Aaron Judge. The question now is not if he breaks Roger Maris's Yankee and American League home run record, but when. He needs three. Could he do it during this six-game homestand? Week two in the books, impressive home wins for Buffalo and Philadelphia. The Bills all over Tennessee, 41-7. Josh Allen, four touchdown passes, three went to Stephon Diggs. Titans loss means that in the AFC South, the four teams have combined for only one victory. The Eagles easily over Minnesota, 24-7. Jalen Hurts in on three Philly touchdowns just in the first half. Next Monday, it's the 2-0 Giants hosting Dallas, and that's the night after the Jets welcome in Cincinnati. Bengals are 0-2, both of the losses on last-second field goals. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Investors led by New York City's pension funds filed a shareholder proposal calling for an audit of workers' rights at Starbucks. The resolution urges Starbucks directors to commission and release a third-party assessment of the company's compliance with commitments to honor workers' collective bargaining rights. New Jersey teachers in the state's school employees' health benefits program will be paying over 15% more for health coverage in 2023. Similar, though slightly less, than the increase imposed on municipal and county workers. Teachers did not avoid the big hike like state workers did. Connecticut's attorney general met Monday with the M&T Bank executive, who oversees the New England region. He made a series of demands he hopes will resolve problems with a computer system conversion designed to combine People's United Bank and the Buffalo-based financial institution. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thank you, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about the Lord & Taylor brand looking to aggressively reintroduce itself to consumers.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Halloween spending is expected to hit a record of $10.6 billion.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WCCO in Minneapolis, I'm reporting that a Minnesota-based self-storage company has taken its property tax fight to the U.S. Supreme Court.
I'm Stephen Carroll on DAB Digital Radio in London. We've been reporting on the Riksbank hiking rates by 100 basis points as the Swedish Central Bank kicks off a massive week of rate decisions.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting seven Midwestern states are teaming up to promote hydrogen as a clean energy alternative.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Among the many crowd-pleasing elements of the Inflation Reduction Act, which President Biden signed into law last month, is a measure to cap the cost of insulin for Medicare recipients. Lawmakers from both parties now want to widen that benefit to millions of others who rely on the life-saving drug. Insulin affordability is a problem. Americans pay roughly eight times more for the century-old drug than people in the rest of the developed world. But while limiting out-of-pocket costs for insulin has obvious political appeal, it does nothing to contain the overall price of the drug. Rather than attempting to manipulate prices, Congress should marshal the forces of competition to bring down costs. That sort of strategy would benefit consumers and taxpayers alike. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Listen for Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. S&P futures down 13 points. Dow futures down 73. NASDAQ futures lower by 59 points. The 10-year Treasury yield 3.53%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Mostly sunny, low 80s today. We'll get near 80 tomorrow under a mostly sunny sky. By Thursday, showers likely, upper 70s. Right now, 69 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks giving up early gains as traders gear up for another supersized U.S. rate hike amid rising anxiety. The Federal Reserve could over-tighten and raise the odds of a hard landing. Fed policymakers opening up a two-day meeting today. U.S. stock index futures, they're extending their declines. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures now down about 18 points. Dow futures down 106. And NASDAQ futures down 67. The DAX in Germany is down 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 12/32nds, yield 3.53%, and the yield on the 2-year 3.97%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.1% or 12 cents at $85.85 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $2.90 at $16.75.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0004 against the dollar. British pound 1.1415 and the yen 143.74. And Bitcoin this morning is down 1.5% at $19,220. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Hurricane Fiona has strengthened to a Category 3 storm with winds of 115 miles per hour as it barrels toward the Turks and Caicos Islands. In Puerto Rico, more than a million people are in the dark. Former President Donald Trump's legal team appears before the new special master, Raymond Deary, today, but they are opposing one of Deary's requests. Trump's legal team has refused a request by Deary to clarify actions taken to declassify material seized at the former president's Mar-a-Lago estate. It was a Monday night football doubleheader. The Bills put a what-for-and-why whipping on the Titans, 41-7. The Eagles beat the Vikings, 24-7. In baseball, the Mets won, clinching a playoff berth. The Nationals and Orioles lost. The Giants won. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and the Federal Reserve is beginning its two-day policy meeting for September this morning, determined to put a whipping on inflation. Is that going to mean yet more supersized rate hikes? Let's bring in Carl Riccadonna for more on this, chief U.S. economist at BNP Paribas. Carl, good to speak with you again ahead of the Fed decision. The market's pricing in 75 basis points. We just heard from Sweden's central bank. They went ahead and did 100. What's the chance of a Fed surprise tomorrow, Carl?
Well, good morning. There's about a 15 to 20% chance of a 100 basis point move from the Fed priced into Fed funds futures. However, I think that this is more of a hedging footprint in the markets, and I think there's a pretty clear-cut case to continue with more of the same, these what we'll call jumbo-sized 75 basis point moves. That is still an exceptional pace of tightening. Even if they downshifted to 50, this is still an exceptional pace of tightening. So we should not view another 75 move as some kind of indication that the Fed is not making Herculean efforts to combat the inflation problem in the economy at the moment.
So are 75 basis point moves here to stay? Do you think we see a pivot toward slower jumbo size moves this year?
Well, the Fed has tested some of the language or maybe laid the groundwork for a downshift. Chair Powell talked about the appropriateness of downshifting policy once monetary policy tightens a bit further and financial conditions have tightened further. That's not this meeting, clearly. It could have been this meeting if the CPI data showed some signs of cooperating or responding to the tightening of financial conditions we've seen over the course of the year. That certainly was not the case. November remains an open question. Now, you can make the case that there's a limited supply of data between now and the November rate decision. That would be one more jobs report, one more inflation report. So that sounds like not too much. But if we look at the totality of data, as Chair Powell describes it, we'll have another GDP print. So the first look at Q3, the ECI, we'll have a lot of corporate earnings data and a lot of other data points that inform our decision making, like the ISM surveys, for instance, and industrial production. So there really is a lot of data to digest between now and November. That said, given the momentum, the heat we're seeing in the economic data, it will be hard to make that turn unless we really do see a pronounced downshift in the data. That said, we know from the macro landscape that growth is decelerating very aggressively, and this ultimately will take a toll in all of those indicators I mentioned, including the inflation numbers. We're talking about last year at this time, growth registering 12%, as it was last reported. So 1 year later, growth decelerating to below 2%. And our forecast by year end is something below even 0.5% on GDP. That is a very dramatic slowdown. And so as that becomes more evident in the data, I think both policymakers and market participants will be more comfortable proceeding at a slower pace.
Carl, just 30 seconds left here, but are you expecting any big changes from the Fed's economic projections this week?
We will see some pretty substantial changes to the forecast. So we'll see growth marked down. It looks like policymakers are going to lean harder on the brake pedal. So we'll see a higher interest rate trajectory. This should create more slack in the economy, so a slightly marked up trajectory for the unemployment rate, and of course an acknowledgement that we're seeing more inflation and less improvement in inflation than what they were previously anticipating. So you'll see a lot of markups in that summary of economic projections that they'll be releasing alongside with the meeting statement.
Thanks, Carl. Always good talking with you. Carl Riccadonna, now Chief U.S. Economist at BNP Paribas. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report, brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The Internal Revenue Service is extending some filing and payment deadlines for individuals and businesses in Puerto Rico that have been affected by Hurricane Fiona. A bill passed by Congress directs the Labor Department to look into the obstacles facing skilled immigrants who seek employment in the U.S. A federal judge in New York ruled that JetBlue must face disability discrimination claims from an asthmatic former ground worker. The worker says the carrier refused to administer a saliva test instead of a breathalyzer test after a luggage vehicle accident.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Jeff, thanks. Now another legal story we're watching. Yeshiva University has decided to temporarily suspend all undergraduate club activities after the U.S. Supreme Court refused to step into a legal fight over its refusal to recognize a campus LGBTQ student group. The ruling split the justices 5-4, but the dissent appears to indicate that the win for the student group may just be a temporary one. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Richard Garnett, a professor at the University of Notre Dame Law School.
So the dissent, written by Justice Samuel Alito, at least four of us are likely to vote to grant certiorari if Yeshiva's First Amendment arguments are rejected on appeal. And Yeshiva would likely win if its case came before us.
Yeah.
Isn't he deciding the case before it's even been argued?
Well, you only need four justices to grant cert, you know, and there were four justices on the dissent there. So, but it was interesting, that extra bit where Justice Alito does pretty clearly suggest to the parties below that he thinks it wouldn't just be the four on Yeshiva's side. And I think he's probably right about that. I mean, I suspect that it wouldn't even be just five or even six, that if the case were to actually get to the Supreme Court, that Yeshiva would win. But for, you know, whatever reason, a majority of the justices wanted to have this thing sort of play out more slowly and to play out fully in the state court system before the Supreme Court comes in on the ultimate merits questions.
Why do you think that it's such a clear-cut case on the merits?
So the doctrine that the Supreme Court's settled on in recent years is that a law that is not generally applicable, but that burdens religion, is subject to what's called strict scrutiny, and that's a very demanding standard. And it seems pretty clear that the New York anti-discrimination regulation that's being applied here has lots of exceptions. There's all kinds of civic groups and clubs and other organizations that are not subject to this particular anti-discrimination norm, but Yeshiva is. And so Yeshiva is going to be able to say the application of this law is a burden on our religious freedom rights. And because it's a burden that's being imposed by a law that's not general, then that burden has to be evaluated under this very demanding standard. And, you know, generally speaking, when strict scrutiny is applied to a law, the law loses. And I think it'd be, again, more than just five or even six justices who would think that that was true. Because if New York is willing to allow, you know, various other nonprofits to have internal rules that reflect their values and their mission and so on, I think the court's going to say that they can't deny that to Yeshiva.
And that's Richard Garnett, a professor at the University of Notre Dame Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. And coming up straight ahead, we have a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.